welcome to GMI, the Guitar and Music Institute podcast, episode number 55. My name's Jed Brushy, and today I'm talking with Gavin Jack. Gavin is going to be talking all about slide guitar, how he got into slide guitar, and news about playing slide guitar, but also some really great news about new products that he's talking about, including a free product on how to play slide guitar, which you can hear right now playing in the background of this intro. So here is my interview with Gavin Jack. Gavin, that was absolutely fantastic. So folks, as you know from the intro, I'm with Gavin Jack. We're actually, yet again, I'm facing someone. Usually it's over the computer. So Gavin, it's great that you've come to do this, and it's fantastic to hear that slide guitar.
Thanks for having me.
So you're one of the guys who are going to be teaching GMI online, and I don't think there's a better advert, to be brutally honest, than actually having you here, talking to you about it and listening to you play it. It's absolutely amazing. And I just wondered if you could tell the folks out there around the globe a little about slide guitar. But before that, a little about you. So how long have you been playing guitar, and what got you into it?
I've been playing a long time, since the age of 12. I'm 41 now, so I first of all got into Guns N' Roses in a big way when I was younger.
Like everyone.
Yeah, and just really enjoyed it. And someone gave me a lend of a guitar when they went away on holiday once, and I started with a few tab books that I borrowed.
Can you remember the first guitar I ever played? Seriously, had a hole in the back and only two strings. What about your one? What was your first guitar? Can you remember?
The first guitar I had was a Legend Les Paul.
Wow.
I think it was made by Aria Pro 2.
That's the one I had.
Yeah.
That was the first guitar I ever had, was an Aria Pro 2.
Right.
The action was about an inch off the neck.
This one was okay, actually. It had a good sound. But the first one I tried to play, my uncle had a couple of guitars in his cupboard. He never played them. But it was this really old acoustic, I think it was a classical guitar, but he'd put steel strings on it.
Right.
And I just used to dig it at the cupboard, and I used to just play away. I just liked the sound. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just really liked the sound of it. So
it's different days back then, wasn't it, to learn? I mean, nowadays it's so much easier to get your hands on things. How did you go around learning things?
I kind of figured a bit out myself. Like, when I first got a lend of this first guitar, the guy who lent it to me gave me some tab books. So I read...
What's a tab book, just for those that might not know?
Right, well, it's guitar tablature is a way of reading music for the guitar. Without reading music. So it's six lines for the six strings.
Oh, really?
And there's a number on the line that tells you what fret to play. And that's the description I read in the book. And I thought, wow, that's easy. And then I was actually a Rage Against the Machine tab book for their first album.
Right.
So I thought, oh, that's just that string, that fret. And I just need to work out the rhythm from the track. So I found it quite easy to
teach. So you got into it really quickly?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of taught myself for a wee while, just because I thought reading tab was easy.
You know, it's interesting. I used to go on to students about, you got to learn to read music.
Mm-hmm.
But, as life rages on, I found out that most of the lute music was tabbed way back in the day.
Yeah, it was actually there was a lot of, 17th century lute tab.
Yeah, so they were tabbing back then. So there you go, you're in good company. So you kind of took to it. What, stylistically, where did you end up after a year or so?
First of all, it was like Guns N' Roses. The first three were really, or four, were Guns N' Roses, Rage Against the Machine, Smashing Pumpkins, and Red Hot Chili Peppers, because those were the tab books I had. That's what I got, and I liked the band. So I basically tried to learn all of the rhythm guitar for those albums, and then I would try and learn the lead parts after I'd done the rhythm parts.
Did you ever get any of those Cherry Lane Publishing
books?
That's
who they were.
Yeah, they were amazing, weren't they? Cherry Lane Publishing. Yeah. Are they still going?
I think so.
I mean, because they brought a new level of excellence, didn't they, to the whole music tab notation.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, I think. I did find some mistakes in the tab books, which, as a beginner, I'd be trying to play something from the tab book, but there's extra notes in this book that I'm not hearing. So there are printing mistakes in some of these books, which obviously you have to navigate around.
The reason, I guess, I was saying that about Cherry Lane is I was mad about... It was actually, you know, John Bonham died when I was about 15 or something like that, and I remember they played just like Led Zeppelin on all the radio channels all the time. Hmm. But I had a Led Zeppelin book because I wanted to play, you know, Led Zeppelin, and there was no tab in those books, and
really?
It was just like... And there were facsimiles almost of the real thing. It was really difficult. And when I started to see Cherry Lane publishings popping up, I didn't know that there was mistakes and things. And that I just looked back then that it taken it to a new level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the few mistakes that were in there, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the books were amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, from a beginner...
Yeah.
You can stumble across these and it can be a bit confusing sometimes.
And I bet you were outraged.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, disappointed. How could they make a mistake in a book like this?
About your band,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that's
totally understandable. I mean, it's a difficult task to transcribe these songs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's amazing how... So you didn't have lessons?
Not for a few years. I had Total Guitar magazine.
Ah, yes.
Which,
sadly gone.
No, it's still going.
Is it?
Yeah.
The magazine?
Yeah.
All right, I thought they had... From Bath?
Yeah.
Future Publishing.
You can still buy Total Guitar magazine now.
All right.
Yeah.
I used to buy all those and cut all the stuff out and then give them to...
Really?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't realise they were still going. I thought the internet had wiped them out.
Yeah, no, they're still going. And back then they had like different sections in the book. So you could have the rock section... the blues section, the acoustic folk guitar section. So I'd buy it and then I'd try and learn everything in it before the next one came out the next month.
Got
and
you.
So that gave me a good taste of different genres.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, really good for that magazine.
Do you remember this? Moods and Scales.
Moods and Scales.
Do you know that guy used to say that? Moods and Scales.
Right. Was that in the rock column?
Yeah, it was in the CD thing. That's how you used to say it. Moods and Scales.
Yeah. Like a Hollywood voiceover for some of the stuff.
So we're here to primarily not just talk about you and your beginnings, but how you got into slide guitar. I mean, I was really blown away by what you did that we've heard. How did that progress? How did you start getting into slide? How did you first discover it?
Right, well... When I did get lessons, I got lessons from a guy called Brian Riley in Lanark, who is an amazing teacher, still is. And I was into like rock and metal and stuff before I went to Brian, and he really introduced me to blues.
Right.
And through the blues to improvising. So I really enjoyed just putting on a backing track and just playing along with some blues. First of all, that was from the minor pentatonic scale and just getting the sound of that. And just through that influence, I started listening to a lot of blues music because I hadn't really been exposed to it before.
Do you remember who you were listening to?
Well, back then, Robert Johnson was one of the first ones because, you know, everyone knows Robert Johnson. There was a lot of other kind of people like Elmore James, some of the older blues stuff, Mississippi, Fred McDowell, a lot of the old guys.
What a great name, eh?
Yeah, so...
Is it true if you want to get on in that, you've got to have a disability and a fruit?
Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. there's... I mean, I'm terrible with names, but yeah, I listened to just a good mix of different blues players and modern players as well. Like, you've got people like Bonnie Raitt, yeah. I think the name is.
Yeah.
Rory Gallagher, who's obviously a blues, but he had a bit of rock influence in there. Even the Beatles, like George Harrison, played a lot of slide guitar. So it's more the actual sound of the slide. I don't think it's... I mean, blues, obviously, it kind of made it popular. But
do you remember when you first heard Slide?
Well, the first time I actually really took note of it and listened to it, right, there was a film called Crossroads.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that one with Steve Vai and what's the Karate Kid's name again?
Okay,
I don't know. But Ry Cooder played all the slide in that film.
Right.
And there's a moment in the film where there's a track called Feeling Bad Blues. And it's just like this, his woman's left him in that, and he just picks up his slide guitar and starts playing. And that piece of music was it really blew me away. I was like, that's I really want to play slide now.
Yeah.
That's what made
me. So that was it what switched you on.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm sure I liked it before, but that one was like, no, that's, I really want to do that.
I mean, slide, I'm going to ask you to play a little slide, some maybe some licks or stuff in a minute, but do you think the thing about slide guitar is the visualisation of it? I mean, it just looks so cool. I remember those adverts from back in the day where there was an old guy, you know, he's on the porch. He's got a bottle of Bud, I think it was, and he's using that to play slide. Is that part of the appeal of slide? I mean, because for me, it's like that. It's ramshackle. There's invariably a railroad, an old railroad track and some tumbleweed and dust.
I mean, for me, it was, I thought that's an emotional outlet for me in my playing. Like, I connected with it on a sound level. I think, I mean, when people are making adverts and stuff, who knows what they're going to use to advertise their product. I know at one point, Danny Gatton, you know, the country player?
Yeah.
He was playing a concert once and he had a beer bottle, but he'd taken the label off it. And he was playing the slide with the beer bottle and the beer's going everywhere.
Well, the beer was still in it.
There's foaming all over the guitar and everything.
Wow.
And then at the end of the song, he said, "Oh, thanks very much. We're looking for an advertising deal. If you're a beer company, your name could be on this bottle."
That's brilliant.
Yeah. But I mean, the visualization stuff for me, I didn't see any of that.
I was just thinking about the film.
Yeah, I just, you know, it was the sound. And the feeling, because I've always thought when you're improvising, it's an emotional outlet for you.
Yeah.
It's an art form and you're expressing your emotions through the guitar. And that's, for me, that's why it resonated. It's like, oh, I kind of feel like that sound. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Miserable?
Well, yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Unhappy.
Yeah.
So,
but there's a lot of positive slide guitar playing as well. You can play in a major key and it can be very uplifting as well in a way.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a kind of I suppose a bit of contradiction there, because sometimes I feel like when I do play something sad, it kind of makes me feel happy.
My name is Jed Brockie. You're listening to the GMI podcast, and I'm talking with Gavin Jack, who's hopefully, Gavin, could you maybe just play some licks, just little licks, ideas so the listeners can, what would be a classic sort of slide lick that you could play?
Yeah.
And probably. By the way, guys, just to let you know that Gavin's got, and you'll see this in the pictures, he's got a sort of metal tube around his third finger, his ring finger of his left hand, just in case you don't know what slide guitar is. Sorry, Gavin.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, one most people might know.
I mean, you play that and you're right there, right?
Yeah, so that's more of an upbeat one, and you know, if you've got bass and drums behind that.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a bit of Elmore James, Dust My Broom.
Yeah, and actually we've got a track of you playing that.
Yeah.
Could we maybe put that up somewhere? I think would that be all right?
Of course. Yeah.
I think we might put a bit of that in at some point, or maybe a link to it. Okay, is there something you can do down the bottom of the neck near the nut?
Yeah, so we've got all the low stuff you can do. That's when you're having a beer.
Thank you. See, that is fantastic. I just love that bottom end and the vibrato and everything and the slide. Absolutely brilliant, isn't it? So, what tuning are you using for this?
Just this one's open E.
So for listeners out there who might not know about slide guitar, do you know anything about where it started?
It goes very far back. As far as I know, there was a lot of African stringed instruments played mm-hmm. with some kind of slide.
Yep.
And in Hawaiian music,
right?
It can come from Hawaii as well.
Okay.
And the earliest recording of slide guitar was a guy called Sylvester Weaver, uh-huh. and I think that was back in 1923.
Wow, I mean that is like at the dawn of, so people like really got it even back then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They wanted to record that. That's fantastic. So, how does someone go about it? Because you're not in normal guitar tuning, is it? The guitar is tuned a specific way,
yeah.
and you've had to retune it mm-hmm. because of the fact that you've got a one metal thing going across all the frets, is that right?
Yeah, well, there's many different ways you can deal with slide guitar. You can play it in standard tuning, and a lot of people do. It's fine to do that. You can, you might even want to maybe start there. If you know your scale shapes and you know some things in standard tuning, you can try using a slide.
So standard tuning is just the tuning that people would have if they bought a guitar,
yeah.
a normal tuned yeah. guitar.
But what you have to do if you're playing slide is you have to play your notes over the fret wire.
Right.
So normally, you know, if you're playing a note, you put it on the first fret, that's in the space between the nut
yeah.
and the fret wire itself. But yeah. when you play slide, the note you're getting comes from playing on top of the fret wire.
Right.
And that's a wee bit of a challenge because your target is, I mean, a fret is about, 2 millimetres wide. So
yeah.
to stay in tune, you have to play over that fret. And it just won't sound in tune otherwise. So you have to... And really try and use your ears there as well to make sure you're in tune. So maybe you could start by playing a scale just normally and then playing it with a slide to see if you can make
So the biggest challenge, I guess, is something called intonation.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, so you're trying to... So they have to... You're talking about different tunings.
Yeah.
What would be a tuning that is... kind of the standard one you would start with?
Yeah, well, I think the reason for using the different tunings is that you actually get a chord. If you play all of the strings, I've not got any hands on the guitar here, I'm just, you get a chord. And that's what makes this, it's a bit easier to use the slide that way because you can just put the slide across all of the strings and you get a chord straight away. But as for, I started in open E tuning, and you kind of, depends if you know any songs that you want to learn in slide, you kind of need to know what tuning that song is in.
Right.
And that can be a wee bit challenging. You need to know, find out, like say you want to learn Dust My Broom, you need to know that's in open E. And because there's the different tunings like open E, open D, open G, open A.
Does that mean you would have multiple guitars if there was a heavy slide gig or recording? Would you take more than one guitar along to a gig?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I use only open E when I'm playing slide.
Right.
And I used to play songs in other tunings, and I would just tune the same guitar to the new one. But I mean, if you were really, really... into that, then you might take a guitar in open G and a guitar in open E.
So right now you're playing a Fender Stratocaster. Mm. Have you ever played a guitar, the resonator guitars?
I've had a go of them. I don't own one, but yeah.
Yeah, they're all metal construction, aren't they?
Yeah.
What was your feeling about the sound that they create?
I'd love to own one. I just really love the sound of that.
Are they expensive? Yeah.
They can be, but there's cheaper models.
Right.
You can get one for maybe $300 or $400. It's not exactly cheap, but they're the cheaper end of the resonators, yeah.
Right.
Or you could get a National Steel, which is very expensive.
Probably. Oh, really? Is that an American made?
Yeah, I think National Steel's in, is it Dobro?
Ah, right,
they're,
okay.
They're yeah, they can be quite expensive. But the cheaper ones sound amazing as well. I think it's just you're paying for the name.
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, it's got they all kind of sound the same, don't they? Or do they?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've not played that enough to really to know that, but.
So how long did it take you to get up and running? If someone was listening to this podcast and thinking, "Wow, that sounds great. I would kind of like to do that." How long does it take someone, if they've got some technique on the guitar, to be able to get up and running and playing slide guitar?
I think probably a lot sooner than you might think. You just need to. Well, what I done was I applied what I already knew to slide. So when I did tune my guitar to open E, I already knew the minor pentatonic scale.
Right.
So when you tune to open E, you have to tune your A string up 2 frets to a B note. Your D string goes up 2 frets, so that's an E note. And then your G string, you just tune that up to a G sharp.
So that's where these chromatic tuners will come in handy these days.
So they're just, for anyone who's interested, the tuning for open E is E, then the A string goes to B, then your D string is E, then the G string goes to G sharp, and then your bottom two strings, they stay the same, they're still B, and then the bottom string is still E.
So it might be a good point time to say that you're actually creating a free open string download guitar pack for people through GMI, aren't you?
Yeah, so that's one of the things I wanted to do is to kind of map out the scales that you might already know in the new tuning, so that you know how to play E minor pentatonic in open E tuning. And that's what I would really use when you start playing slide. Maybe just put a backing track on in E, like an E blues, and just try and play your normal pentatonic licks with a slide.
And your pack will show people how to do
that. So I'll probably use some licks with normal fingering and then with a slide. Because, I mean, like, here's a classic blues lick. You could do... say this, for example.
So you're using both your fingers and the slide. Well,
this one, this is just with fingers, right? So
okay.
Might play that if you're improvising.
Yep.
With a slide.
So
I've tried to play the same lick.
Yeah, and you did. That was amazing. So can you combine fingers and the slide?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so you could do like some fingers, then. Slide. See, that's all fingers there. There's the slide. Slide.
So I wish you could see this, folks, but because it's absolutely fantastic. But the point is, you're going to be creating videos for this free lesson for people to actually see you play that, and to be able to do things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think it will help people if they can see how it's done.
Yeah,
because a lot of, I mean, slide, it's, if you're just working from listening to recordings and using your own ear, that's fine. But if you can actually see it, it's a lot better. For example, there's a song I wanted to learn. It was called Jesus Gonna Make Up My Dying Bed.
Now that sounds a happy song.
I was listening to the song.
Are any songs in slide happy?
Right, I don't know, but you can definitely make it, you know. You can get a bit of major tonality in there. But I just found out recently, well, I'm still questioning it, because I worked this song out from a recording. It goes like this. so on. But I don't think he actually plays it with a slide now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So on the recording, when I heard it, I thought, that sounds like slide. So I worked it out in slide. And now I've been watching on some...
So videos. Who's the guitarist?
Josh White.
Josh White.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been watching a few videos of him recently, and I've not seen him with a slide. But he does use a really low tuning, and he bends strings a lot.
Right.
So slides can kind of emulate bending a string as well, yeah. Of course. That's
so a bit like that Hawaiian guitar thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're hearing that coming through. So I wanted to know, I mean, it's really fantastic watching you doing it and hearing some great, great tones. You play this live or around Edinburgh and beyond. What sort of reaction do you get from the audience? Do you get people coming up and talking to you about it?
Yeah, I mean, people love slide guitar. A lot of people really, really, the sound resonates with them. And
resonates? Yeah, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a few people in tears, actually, coming
really?
Up and saying, oh, that sounded amazing.
Right, so it was for the right reasons, not the wrong.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. There's some big blues fans in the UK as well. So when we've played the Blues Festival in Edinburgh and stuff, people really enjoy that sound.
That's amazing. And do you ever get folks coming up wanting lessons in that?
Yeah. I've taught a few people. Even now, a few weeks ago, someone at the jazz bar, I got talking to them after the gig and just told them that I teach as well, so they've came for some lessons.
Okay. So what is, other than looking out for your free pack that's going to be coming out, what other plans have you got in tow for GMI? Because there are other ones, aren't there? You're talking about a bigger product.
And yeah.
Tell us a little about the work that you want to do and expand upon.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the things that I'd like to show people about slide, it can be a bit of a big subject. So I'd like to start with some material in the open E tuning. And that, I think that'll give people an insight and a starting point.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some free material available where you can see some of the scales in open E tuning. I'll get you to be able to play some stuff very quickly with some licks and some example solos and things. And there'll be backing tracks to play along with. I do plan on, there will be a book coming out with a lot more content.
Okay. And,
about other keys, about other tunings, sorry. We'll still be an open E for the
book. So is this still a download product, a paid download product?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're wanting to also look to producing a fully fledged, big Hollywood production book.
Yes. Yeah, that's the idea, so... with all the as much information as I can put in there about what I know about playing slide and open E.
I think that's fantastic though, because if so, you know, most people are at the bottom of the pyramid and they might just want to do a little bit of thing so they can get the free product, you know. But if they want to take it a bit more serious, they can get the other things.
Yeah.
And what do you think the biggest what does it cost for one of these slides?
Slide. Well, if you've got a bit of pipe lying around the house, you can maybe cut a bit off that.
So you can basically use anything.
My first slide was a bit of copper plumber's pipe.
Ah.
Yeah.
That costs a lot of money now.
Yeah, so just remember and file the edge so you don't cut your finger.
Yes.
I've used a few beer bottles as well in the past.
Yeah. Just if you want to look
be
cool.
Careful if you're doing that, though. I've smashed the end off a bottle and just used that. So, but I would really recommend just go to your music shop and buy a slide. There are different kinds though. So you can maybe see, just try a few and see what fits your finger. I think it's best, don't get something that's too tight.
You can't get it off
and you'll end up with like a blue finger because all the blood
goes. Man dies from slide.
Yeah. there's a different kinds. You've got brass ones, steel.
In your opinion, glass. Gavin, does it matter what the type of metal is?
Yeah, I think once you play it for a wee while, you'll try different ones and you'll find what one you like the sound of. I mean, a lot of people use glass slides. I liked my brass one. It's not too heavy. And I mean, some people, the thickness of this brass one is probably just a couple of millimetres, but you get really thick, heavy slides, which means you don't have to press down on the strings so much with it. But I like to feel like I'm connecting with the string a bit better. So,
as someone who's only dabbled in slide, here's maybe a silly question. Do you ever put more than one slide on your hand?
I've tried it.
Right, yeah, so it's not a it's not a technique that's used.
No, definitely not.
Double slide.
I thought, what am I doing here? Like, yeah, there might be a use for it, but I think I had like three slides on at one point, trying to come up with something new. But no, there wasn't anything to be gained.
And no one else. It's not like the Roland Kirk of jazz, who used to have three saxophones all belted together at one moment. Right, so it really is. So, okay, what do you think the approximate timescale for, say, the free product roughly is? Do you know, is it a couple of months, 3 months?
Yeah, I think probably that's a good timescale, about 2 or 3 months.
Right, so where are we? We're in February.
For me to get the material together and put it in a way that I'd like it to be presented.
So we're probably looking June 24, because we're currently in February 24.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks so much. I just wonder, it's been absolutely fantastic talking with you and learning about slide and how you got into it. Is there anything you'd like to add before I ask you for the obligatory, can you play us out?
Well, if you're not really familiar with slide, I'd say just go and listen to a lot of slide. There's great playlists on Spotify. Just type in slide guitar and you'll have plenty to listen to.
Is there any specific players that you think people should listen to?
Yes, Ry Cooder, for one, who really is the reason I'm interested in slide guitar. Obviously, Robert Johnson and Elmore James were the kind of... They're really, really popular. And Elmore James is more of a... Well, you'll see there's a lot of like old acoustic slide stuff. And Elmore James was, he played on an electric guitar, so he was the one that brought it to
crossover.
Yeah, the crossover. Of course, you've got Rory Gallagher, Dwayne Allman, the Allman Brothers, because it's not just for blues. You know, you'll maybe start trying to listen out for it and the music you like, try and see if you can spot any slide guitar, and you'll see how it can be used. But yeah, just go and listen to some slide if you're not in. And if you do like some of the songs, just try and learn them, you know. And if you've got any trouble, you can obviously come to me for lessons and I can perhaps show you how to play some of your favourite slide songs, you know.
That's right, because, you know, as I said in the last podcast, GMI is actually going to be creating a online one-to-one live guitar lesson platform at Online Guitar Lessons, GMI, and you, of course, are one of the teachers. So if anyone anywhere in the world is listening to this and thinks, I'd like to have a lesson with Gavin, well, you can. And what this means is you'll be able to go to onlineguitarlessonsgmi.com. You can choose from, there's many tutors there, but Gavin's one of them. You could choose him. And you would choose that it's all time zone corrected. So whatever time you see, wherever you are in the world, will reflect the times that Gavin is available to do it. And you could buy a lesson with Gavin and have a one-to-one lesson with Gavin, which, you know, it's really exciting. I'm hoping that you've got too many students, and I think you deserve that. The one thing I would like to say is you might not know that you've listened to slide, not slide guitar, but a pedal steel, which is another slide instrument, especially when you were young. And that was at the beginning of all the Looney Tunes cartoons. There's a G6 chord. So that's a nice G6 there, I think, on pedal steel. Gavin, I've said enough. Could you maybe give us some slightly upbeatish type stuff, anything you want in the slide, that would be a brilliant way to end this.
Okay, I kind of like to do some of the stuff a bit Travis picking on the bottom. So.
Well, what's Travis picking?
Right, okay, it's another big subject. But
yeah, see, opened up a can of worms there, sorry.
So, Travis picking is you've got this style of playing a bass line along with your lead playing, so it's a rhythm accompaniment. Quite often it's on like beat 1, 2, 3 and 4, so you've got... And you can add the slide on.
Podcast episode's going to be really quite popular. I know I really enjoyed actually talking to Gavin and hearing him play, and hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Remember, in around June we'll have that free product out there for you to come and download and watch Gavin play and get taught by him, and hopefully we'll have the larger actual full product available around that time as well. One final thing is, if you are looking for guitar books or inspiration, please come over to the gmiguitarshop.com. There's lots of free products there in GMI Digital, and there's also paid download products as well. And
Gavin, that was absolutely
entire print range
fantastic. So folks,
on all sorts of guitar subjects from beginner to advanced.
We're actually, so, yet again, I'm facing someone.
My name is Jed Brockie.
Usually
it's been a pleasure hosting
Gavin,
the show. I hope to have your company on the next episode. Bye for now.